How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
I think the cool thing about a saint is when you read about them and you think you're an alien. Like, you're not a human being.
Correct. Like, stupid holy.
If you've read Story of a Soul, it's like you're not a real person, right?
Yes.
In the best way possible. You have this deep love for your family, this deep love for God, deep love for Mary. Like, you're going to the Colosseum, and instead of being like, wow, cool, the Colosseum, you're like weeping and kissing the ground because of the Christian martyrs that died there, which would not be my first response if I went to the Colosseum, especially if I was like 12. And you're also, the reason you're in Rome is to talk to the Pope about becoming a sister earlier than you're allowed to, you know? It's like, if I'm going to the Pope, I'm like, what's up, Holy Father? How you doing? Why'd you give away the papal Lamborghini? You should have kept it. Welcome to The Crunch, the only podcast whose canonization date has not been set by the Pope. It's your boy, Ethan.
And I'm Patrick. Oh, dude, you got in trouble again. You need to stop. You need to get off that hill before you die on it.
Interesting that it's always my fault and not the woke scolds that come into my mentions trying to silence me. You know? Why can't I simply have opinions, and why can't the people twice my age simply ignore me if they don't like what I'm saying? Why is it always me? I mean, I'm not perfect. I certainly could shut up much more often. But I feel like I don't say anything that bad. But who believes he says things that are that bad, you know? Who
Correct.
Among us?
Correct.
So I recognize I have a bit of bias here in this situation.
I think your friends just want what's best for you, and you have to toe the line.
Lieutenant, right? I found that in these situations we have different solutions. Gordon Freeman.
Man, I wish I had a bubbly right now.
Yeah, I got a
bubbly. Yeah, I think you should just. I think you should just get on the Carlo train.
I'm on the Carlo train.
I think you should get on the Carlo.
I mean, I wanted to talk about Mr. Acutis today because I'm on the Carlo train in that
Carlo, Mr. Acutis, if you're nasty.
I am on the Carlo train. I just, if you don't know Carlo Acutis, he's a saint in heaven.
Blessed
Carlo Acutis, soon to be canonized a saint in the Catholic Church. Named a saint because he had access to WordPress in 2004, which is about the only thing that I could. It's not that I don't like him, right? It's just that, like, it feels like the bar got reduced, you know?
I
know people, like, when I read the description of his life, it's like, I know people that are this holy, you know? Mm-hmm. Which is good, right? I'm not saying that that level of holiness is bad. But I'm also saying, like, I'm thinking about the other, you know, 14-year-old kids that had their, like, the Mexican kid saint who had, like, the skin scraped off his feet, and he died at a firing squad shouting Viva Cristo Rey. And that to me is like, wow, that really is something.
It's
making
Jose
a
Sanchez.
Website is not courageous. You know what I mean? And maybe that makes me an asshole, and that's fine. But, like, I just really, something about it. Maybe it's because I'm so familiar with the thing that it's really hard for me to be like, oh, yeah, it is really cool.
Oh,
because
he is a saint.
Like,
Jose Sanchez del Rio is a saint. He was
that's what I'm thinking of.
2016, yeah.
Yeah, Jose Sanchez del Rio, who I love. I love his story.
But it's also, like, he died in 1928 and wasn't even beatified until 2005. It took a very long time.
That's crazy.
It is there. There is an element. Blessed Carlo Acutis was a saint who was born, is now a saint who was born in 1991, which makes him the first millennial saint, which also makes him the only saint you're allowed to bully on the internet.
Our first cringe saint.
I was trying to figure out a fun way to like make a millennial joke with Carlo Acutis involved. Like, he's the, I like Carlo Acutis because he's born early enough to have, he's born early enough to have read Harry Potter. But not, but he died before reading Harry Potter could become his whole personality.
Imagine he's in heaven, like before he gets canonized, and then heaven gets word that like his canonization has finally come through, and Carlo Acutis is like, "Well, that was awkward."
he's up in heaven. The second he get canonized, I did a thing.
I did a thing, guys. Check it out.
I did a thing,
dude. See,
sainting.
Dude,
right?
he's in heaven. He's talking about freaking Saint Peter. You know, be like, oh, I'd never betray Jesus the way that Saint Peter did. And he's like, oh, he's right behind me, isn't he?
The rooster's right behind me, isn't it?
Oh goodness!
Get a load of this guy.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
what
so
Carlo
Acutis is
like.
is a millennial saint, and he is most notable for the website that he made that cataloged Eucharistic miracles, which is another thing that Ethan hates.
It's not that I don't hate Eucharistic miracles.
Ethan thinks people are like are too slam dunky with Eucharistic miracles.
They are.
You've made a valid critique in the past where people are like, it turned to blood. That means it's obviously true, but it's like that's not how miracles work. Miracles aren't.
There's like a billion stories. Like, there are people who have found alien spacecraft, you know? And there's people still out there that are like, aliens aren't real, you know? So it's like, so I just don't know. In the same way, it's like, well, this every year on the Feast of St. Januarius, the blood reliquifies. It's like, that's not convincing anybody, and it's not pretending that it will. There are some few people that will like help encourage them on their journey towards
the
faith.
The atheist scientist they have check the blood always converts. But like that's
and that's good. I'm not saying that that's bad, but acting like it's a panacea for all apologetics is not appropriate.
So for Ethan so far, Carlo has two strikes against him. Third strike. First strike millennial second strike Eucharistic miracles. He made a WordPress website back in the day on the internet, and he played PlayStation and dressed up like Spider-Man. And okay, so
he's a Pokemon guy. Beyond... I'm not a Pokemon guy, so
yeah, that's fair.
That's a third strike. I'm out on him. I'm squaring up on Carlo in heaven. I'd be like,
beyond that, when it comes to Carlo, I'm not too clear on the other aspects of his life. You know how these saint stories, and it's possible because the hagiography hasn't had time to take shape yet. You know, like, what?
Sorry, that just sounds like such a post-Vatican II, like, phrase that means nothing. You know, the hagiography hasn't had time to take shape yet.
I mean that, that's not a post-Vatican II phrase because what I mean
I know.
Is the canonization may have been rushed.
I agree with you.
That does not make it not a valid canonization.
I also agree with you.
Have you noticed?
I think we canonized JP2 too fast, and I've got a. I got a picture of him right here. I love JP2.
Have you noticed all of these hip young saints that get canonized super quickly are all Italian too? It's like someone knows someone, you know.
I'm not gonna say what I was gonna say.
that's how the church is an immense is a very human organization, and. The church is a very human organization, and it's subject to human influences, and the Holy Spirit works through those. And so, you know, Chiara and Pier Giorgio and Blessed Carlo have been, you know, they're all Italian. They all had causes for canonization local to the guy who makes the decision. So obviously, whereas on this side of the world, we've been trying to get Fulton Sheen through for years and it just isn't happening.
Right. So it's like, That's the thing. And I don't even know if Fulton Sheen has a great case, you know?
Like, I think Fulton Sheen has a good case.
I think but winning an Emmy, it doesn't count as like being holy, you know?
No, I don't think that's it. I think his communication of the faith, devotion to the Eucharist, the man never missed a holy hour.
No, that's you know, true. Yeah, he was beast. He was beast.
Mode. He once rushed to get a holy hour in at 11 p.m. because that was the only way he was going to get his holy hour in for that day. He like
I have his biography. I need to read it. I haven't read it. I don't know enough about his life. I just hate that everyone is making me feel bad for not getting it. You know? Why can't I think it's perfectly valid. There should be room in the church to be like, why are we rushing this? You know, is this going a little bit too fast? Especially now in the modern day.
The reason why Jose Sanchez del Rio, it took him so long to get canonized is because this is what it is. It's not rushing it. It is a sin against subsidiarity.
Mm-hmm.
These canonizations have an element of subsidiarity to them.
Right.
Michelle Dupong, the Focus girl, is going to have a cult around her among Focus missionaries. And her story is going to get told and it's going to spread. And if it's inspiring enough, it'll spread to the nation and she will be considered American. She'll be considered a South Dakotan saint or wherever she's from. And then she'll kind of, and there'll be like cities named after. This is how sainthood develops. It's like,
right.
It's everyone knew Michelle. She was an incredibly holy woman. Obviously, like I know she did a miracle. Like all these stories spread. This is what I mean when the hagiography needs to develop. The story of this person's life needs to get chiseled out. You know how like when you're in the middle of a tough time and you're like, how is this gonna, where is God's plan in this tragedy? And then 60 years later or like 60 days later, you're like, oh, I understand now. I understand what God is doing. I get it. Like looking back, I understand. That's how it is with our own lives. We see the full picture. Okay, I understand everything now. Same thing with the human life. We look back and we go, oh, I understand the nuances of this person. And we did rush JP2. We can tell because there's some questions like, oh, what did he know about the sex abuse scandal? We're too close to that historical event to exonerate him. And I do believe he can be exonerated from that. Same with Fulton Sheen. We're too close to the sex abuse scandal because there's questions about whether or not he moved people around and what he knew about the sex abuse scandal. So it's like we're too close to that personally. And we make snap judgments. In 100 years, people might not care that JP2 was a little too lax with the sex abuse scandal. Sorry. Right. He might not. That people might not. And that might smooth out and it's fine. And we can like, and that won't become a well-known scandalous part of his story. But we're too close to it. And so like,
dude, Augustine, St. Augustine, the great church father said, you can't have sex with your wife while she's pregnant or else you are incurring great sin. So it's like, sometimes saints are just wrong about stuff.
Yes.
You know, obviously that's less important
from that.
It's less important than child sex abuse scandal. But I'm just saying it's something I saw read recently. I was like, dang, I didn't know he said that. That's crazy.
Yes, that is because back then they thought that intercourse while pregnant would harm the child.
Right.
And that's incorrect.
Yeah. Hildegard,
they didn't
had
know
some
about
words
the plug back then.
No, they didn't know about the plug.
They didn't know about the plug.
I still have some questions about the plug. Maybe we can get into it on the bonus podcast.
Apparently it can just go away and come back. That's maybe not how plugs work.
Ask Patrick about the plug.
You ever just get together with your boys and talk about mucus? All right. things only you only hear on The Crunch and in epidemiology class.
Sorry, pardon, bless you.
Epidemiology. Uh-huh. Get together with your boys, talk about mucus, spread of disease. All right, whatever.
From what I can tell about Blessed Carlo.
Yeah.
Is all it says in his bio that I've read is that he just really loved the Eucharist and that it gave his engine. He was like a Ferrari and the Eucharist was his gas is the phrase that kept getting used, which
cool,
is
man.
Beast. I love that.
I love it. I think it's
great to have a dedication to the Eucharist. I think it's really important. He made a lot of time for the Eucharist. He was very disciplined, but it's like, I don't know. It just feels weird to be like, and he even only played video games 1 hour a week. It's like, okay. And, you know, like, is that supposed to impress me? You know? In 1991, there was only one video game. So, It's like, oh, he played Pong for 60 minutes. Good job. That's about as long as you're supposed to play Pong, dude. I don't know. It just feels like
I played Sonic on the PlayStation, just like Carlo, and I was not impressed.
He's a young guy that fell in love with the Eucharist when he was young. Same thing happened to me. I get it, right? He was on fire.
Actually, that's the other thing. He converted his parents.
Okay, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. And then he had all these. He was like a vlogger basically. So he put all of his family's. He was able to visit all of these sites because he was in Italy. Mm-hmm. And post about it. But I'm like, there's probably an Italian teen that's doing that right now. You know, maybe it was just, it's special because he was the first, one of the first people to do it. Like he was the first to take advantage of this new medium to
He's
evangelize.
Also supposedly incorrupt.
That's cool. I like that. That helps, in my opinion.
But that's not one of the miracles needed. That doesn't count.
Sure.
As a miracle for
I still think it's cool.
It is pretty cool.
I'm just like too jaded and too, you know, I need to be
I guess
happy more, I suppose, about
it. I hear you though. It's difficult because it's like, I think you're right. I know people that are like Carlo.
Yes.
My friend Joe, one of my next door dorm mates in college is like an incredibly holy man, very kind, loved the Eucharist, loved his family. Like Carlo is a franny.
Right.
You know, and it's like, that's the thing is friend, it doesn't strike me. I have not yet heard things about him that are like, wow, this kid reached the heights of holiness.
Right.
While he was still a sojourner on this earth.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the kinds of things you expect to hear from saint stories. And I think the thing that unsettles me is I'm like, oh no, is this the best we had?
Right.
You
that's
know,
true.
That's the part that's like Carlo is like holiness is holiness. But what I want is that's the fear because that's all I've heard about him. Let's benefit of the doubt. This kid was a mystic and he saw visions of Christ.
Totally.
And he, levitated in prayer. Like let's just like this kid was holy
in his Jordans.
But it's like I haven't heard those stories yet. Those stories are just like look at him wearing a polo. Mm-hmm. Look at him wearing Jordans. Look at him
dressed up like Spider-Man. Oh.
Adorable.
Right.
But again, I was told growing up all this time. I never even used Carlo as an example when I was talking about young saints in youth group because I never really got it. I really like Kiara's story.
Sure.
Where it's like she had bone cancer and she looked happier with no hair. Like you see those two pictures?
Carlo also had cancer, so you gotta be careful where you tread here.
Good point. Good point. That's fair. That's the thing though. They don't even talk about the cancer.
Right.
Ironically, because he died from it.
That was the thing that was compelling is that he brought a lot of peace to the nurses and the doctors and you know.
Yeah.
People liked having
maybe
him
that's
in the hospital.
It. Maybe the problem is not that his story is not compelling. Maybe the problem is that the stories of his that I've heard are just not bringing up the thing that's compelling, which is this boy died of cancer and
bravely died of cancer and maintained his faith throughout, which I think is great.
Hey, thank you for listening to this episode of The Crunch. Sorry to interrupt what I'm sure is a stimulating intellectual conversation, but I wanted to pause the episode real quick to let you hear from some of our sponsors. We will be back right after this.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, "Happy Friday!" Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Ethan, I'm running into a bit of a problem.
Again?
I accidentally introduced my son Leo to television and movies.
Uh-huh.
And it's so sick because he wants to see Jungle Book so bad. He asked me like Jungle Book, and he's so cute. And I want to show him Jungle Book, but I also don't want him to be addicted to television for his entire life. Have you experienced this yourself?
Yes, my son really loves Peter Pan, and so every day it's see Captain Hook. Want to fight Captain Hook? So we are deep in the minds.
Same
of,
boat.
In the grip of 1930s Disney films.
They really got that stranglehold on.
They do.
I was thinking, you know, I was talking to Phoebe, is like, what are some ways that we can, you know, kind of, because it, one way to go is like, I'm going to cancel out digital stuff entirely, but you know, it's unrealistic. I want to like set up rules and stuff for my family, like some kind of structure that we can use and stick to.
Sort of like so a code to live by.
Are you familiar with any place that I could get such a thing?
Or a Benedictine monastery.
Yeah, right. A rule of life or something. Do you happen to know anyone who's had 16 children and could help me out?
I do. There's a guy named Connor who actually wrote a book about this very thing, if you can believe it. It's called The Well-Ordered Family. And contained therein is the Well-Ordered Family Management System. So it takes out all of the guesswork, all of the confusion, all of the how do I know how much time and energy put into this? How do I make sure that we got this taken care of? How do I invest for my children's future? In more ways than one, it's all there in the Well-Ordered Family, which I really appreciate.
Nice. And I believe they sent us a discount code for our our viewers. They can get 50% off the book.
Is that true?
That's a really solid discount, actually. So
hold on.
Go to wellorderedfamily.com.
I'm going there right now. Yeah.
If you go to wellorderedfamily.com, you put that book in your cart, and you use the code CRUNCH50, you'll get 50% off the book, which is great. You can go through the system, check it out, and then see what Connor has to offer.
Yeah, go to wellorderedfamily.com, and up at the top, you click Get the Book, and that'll take you to the book purchase page. Oh! And then coupon code CRUNCH. I'm applying 50. It right now. CRUNCH50. Thank you. CRUNCH50. And, oh, look at that. I just got 50% off. So my book just went from $24.95 USD to $12.47. So
huge. Wellorderedfamily.com. Take advantage of it now. Thanks so much to Wellordered Family for sponsoring this episode of The Crunch.
The thing that upsets me, I think, secretly, is that like by reducing it to this Saint wore sneakers and dressed up like Spider-Man and played Pokemon, which is what people are doing. My secret, the thing that has been stirring in thine breast, is that we're reducing his story to he wore sneakers and he played the thing and he was the video games and he was Spider-Man and he's just like us. It just feels like it's a very millennial thing where it's like settling, you know, for like the comfortable option, which I'm on the cusp of Gen Z and millennial. I do identify as Gen Z, but to me that it's just like, it's somewhat not the saint himself, but the attitude is somewhat repulsive. Like, it just drives me insane that like people are grasping to try and make the saint more like them and trying to make themselves more like the saint, you know?
Yes.
And I think that is the thing that really frustrates me is like, and then you say, I don't really get this. This isn't for me. And everyone's like, why aren't you excited? Why aren't you happy for us? Why aren't you happy? It's like, I'm not happy for you. Why do I need to be happy for you? Like, I understand you have a devotion to him, but why do I need to be excited for your devotion? It's not a requirement. And I'm also not required to be silent if I'm opposed. That's also not a requirement. Like, I can voice questions without it being like, I don't think anyone's evil. I certainly think he's in heaven. I don't have any problems with what the church is saying. I'm just wondering, is our approach to this guy a little bit selfish, a little bit misguided? A little bit like, I can keep watching my Netflix show, you know, because Carlo Acutis would have watched The Office with me, you know? Maybe that's wrong. Maybe I'm just jaded. I don't know, but I'm looking for someone.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit. I'm looking
for someone who is not like scolding me to give me like a reasonable counter argument, because all I've seen is either people who agree with me or people who are like, shame on you, Ethan. How dare you speak this way? It's like, I'm an adult.
I think my counter argument is just that perhaps in Carlo there is the story you're looking for. It just hasn't been told yet.
I think that means we just canonized him too soon. We don't know anything about him other than he loved Jesus and websites. Okay. Me too.
I think people are just generally excited that there's a saint like them. I think you're right. I don't think that desire is necessarily a good one, because that's the point of sainthood, is transcendent. The thing that I guess it's maybe to like voice your, to put words at your mouth, which I love to
do. Please.
I want to be called to a higher standard than the story that I am being told about Carlo. I want to be held to a higher standard than he loved Jesus, but also played Pokemon and did a web. Because like, I post things about the Eucharist on Twitter. If I died tomorrow, would I be like heralded as some incredible witness?
Absolutely, you know? Not. They hate you out there.
Correct.
You are not universally beloved. I reported that guy that posted your street, by the way.
Oh, thank you. That's so helpful.
I hope his account gets banned.
It wasn't actually. It was publicly available data.
Regardless, I think that's just bad behavior.
Correct. I should not have told Phoebe about it.
Oh, like, yeah, you shouldn't.
Is something bad going to happen? I was like, no, it happened a month ago. If anything was going to happen, it would have happened by now. But did you see the punchline to that? It was like, I've never heard of that street before, but it was a rental property my dad bought in 2002. Yeah,
I did see that. That was funny.
This guy posted my P.O. box street address, which is like on my LLC's data. And he posted a street that I had never heard of before. And I looked it up and it was a rental property my dad bought. My dad has the same name as me. So even if you look up Patrick Nevy, Melbourne, Florida, you're going to get a bunch of different places, because my dad bought a bunch of rental properties in 2002.
It's where the race car driver lived.
No, it's not.
That'd be so funny if they found the race car driver's address instead of, or the bodybuilder.
Opet, how's Brussels? How's the Brussels National Cemetery? That's a different Patrick Nevy. He's dead. Anyway, I want to be held to a higher standard than the story that I'm hearing about Carlo. I would prefer to hear a story like I want a saint who is doing the things that I am doing and yet is more heroic in their virtue. You know, like I want a saint who, I'm waiting for the 21st century American saint, because we were told when we were growing up, right, like the times are defined by the saints that contradict it the most, right? These like Catholic girl, the Catholic equivalent of like just girly quotes, you know. I was told this growing up, and I was like, "Great, yeah!" Like I'm excited for that. And I think a lot of the conclusion of that quotes like that, like "Be who you were meant to be, and you'll set the world on fire." Was like, "You're gonna be that saint, you know? Like you're gonna be the sign of contradiction." And it's essentially true. I'm like waiting for the Catholic sign of contradiction. I'm waiting for the saint that contradicts the times the most. And a saint that is doing things that we do is like not, I hear it's a cognitive dissonance in the church. At the same time, we're like, let's be different than the world. Let's be a sign of contradiction. But then you have that Francis quote from his early papacy being touted around. We need saints who eat pizza. Do you remember that?
I do.
It's like, yeah, of course we're going to have saints that eat pizza because pizza is a common food. But like that can't be the identity. Yeah. There needs to be something deeper that, We need our Saint Benedict, the one who's living life in a radical way that we go out and go, this person is living so differently. I think Father Mike is a better example, is a good example of that. I really do. Because he's doing what we're doing. He's an influencer in a different way. He has like at the same time, I think when he dies, we're gonna hear stories of how despite his fame, he still made time. He dedicated time to his campus. He's, because we all know Father Mike is like the famous priest who does the podcast, but like he's just a college chaplain. One time he gave a talk at Steubenville and he left early, which you're usually not allowed to do, but Steubenville let him do it because he's Father Mike, to go to the theme park with his teens, like the group he came with. You know, like that's fun. Who he is.
That's cool.
He didn't let himself be more important than the group. You know, that's who he is. He's very humble. And that's like a radical humility in the face of fame is heroic. But I don't see that from many people.
Do you think Father Mike? Do you think Father Mike gets sad being like the mascot for the for boomers?
Yes, I've watched him want to talk and engage with every single person in line and be visibly sad that his handlers are taking him away. Yeah. It sucks, but like I see in Father Mike an immense virtue, and also like from the people that we know that know him well, the people that I know that know him well, he does spiritual direction for one of my friends. And just because he's always done it, and he's that kind of person. He's like, I made this commitment to you, and I'm not too famous for you now. You know, it's
that's cool.
The amount of the amount like the amount of fame that he's amassed would go to my head.
It already has.
Correct.
You have a fraction of his fame, and it has gone to your head. I was on the phone with Patrick the other day.
Oh my after God. Patrick, I just landed beeped at someone who wasn't going at the
Patrick
stoplight.
landed a big deal, had a viral tweet. I was on his Bluetooth headset in the car. And he's honking at people. Get out of my way! I got places to be. It's like, dang, he sounded like Jared Vennett in The Big Short. It was so funny. It's like, oh, Mr. Big Shot closes one deal.
Me after I close an eighth page ad at a 40% discount. Art of the deal, baby.
Me after I buy a coffee with a quarter that I found on the ground. Part of the deal.
Me after I use the McDonald's deal app and the cash at the bottom of my cup holder.
Dude, so I can't. If I ever download the McDonald's app, you know, you send someone to check on me because it means that I'm gone. I've gone too far.
I can't get the app.
I can't get the app. I don't. I know the deals will be too tasty.
Ethan, help! I'm drowning. I need to find land, perhaps an island, a Greek island, to find safety, both in physical and digital security.
You got your little flippers on?
Yeah, I got my little blue
little
snorkel.
Swimming boy? You little snorkel?
Swimming. I'm like, help someone find me. I'm swimming in an ocean of privacy violations, and I need to find a haven in this digital ocean.
You're the type of guy that would go on an excursion in the Mediterranean and the boat would leave you behind. I just need you to know that. I hear you. I think the internet is getting more and more pernicious. They're making robots that talk and walk and pour drinks.
Pour beer.
And it's getting to be a little bit much. I mean, we're going to Mars, but at what cost? You know what I mean? And I think that each American, especially in the coming years when it's going to become illegal to be Catholic, we deserve our privacy. We deserve to be protected from government overreach and big companies that are spying on us, trying to target us with ads, trying to get us to spend our hard-earned dollars on their junk instead of on investing in a beautiful future for our families and our friends. Patmos Hosting Solutions can solve that. Not only do they protect you from big tech, not only do they provide a one-of-a-kind integrated hosting solution for your business, for your website, for your platform, whatever it is you need, but they will never censor you. They'll never take your data, even if they 100% disagree with you. Even if they think you're the worst person on the planet, they have that integrity, and that's what I really love about Patmos.
Yeah, Patmos has really helped us out over the past couple of months, setting us up on our website. We are believers. We practice what we preach, and so our podcast is secure on Patmos servers, free from any kind of external intrusion that might occur. And they got a great team. They'll walk you through setting it up. It's one-on-one service, which you're not going to get on any competitor web hosting services. You go to your whatever, your Wix space or your Wordly, whatever. They're not going to host your web. They're not going to walk you through hosting. You're going to have to set up some kind of nonsense. They're going to walk you through it. They're going to help you out. They're great over there.
If you tell them that we sent you, you get 10% off. Go to patmos.tech. Let them know that we sent you. Thank you to Patmos for sponsoring this episode of The Crunch. I think the cool thing about a saint is when you read about them and you think you're an alien. Like, you're not a human being.
Correct. Like, stupid holy.
If you've read Story of a Soul, it's like you're not a real person, right?
Yes.
In the best way possible. You have this deep love for your family, this deep love for God, deep love for Mary. Like, you're going to the Colosseum, and instead of being like, wow, cool, the Colosseum, you're like weeping and kissing the ground because of the Christian martyrs that died there, which would not be my first response if I went to the Colosseum, especially if I was like 12. And you're also, the reason you're in Rome is to talk to the Pope about becoming a sister earlier than you're allowed to, you know? It's like, if I'm going to the Pope, I'm like, what's up, Holy Father? How you doing? Why'd you give away the papal Lamborghini? You should have kept it. It's like, that to me is the reason that, I don't know who it was, but they labeled her as the greatest saint of that century. One of the greatest saints of that century is Therese? Because Therese, because she was so different from everyone around her. And she lived in a family of religious nuns, and she was, and they were all like, she's crazy.
She was a sign of contradiction to her own stupid holy family.
Her parents are saints and her sisters were all nuns, and they were all like, Therese.
One of them is beatified.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
And like, that to me is the epitome of the contradiction thing, you know? Oh, come on, buddy. So that is like, I'm sure those stories about Carlo exist, to your point, but I would like to know them, I suppose.
Yeah, like Pier Giorgio Frassati. They knew he was sick because he asked for half an aspirin. That's how they found out he was sick. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
He never took medicine. He would take medicine that he was given and he would give it to the poor. That's why he died, was because he was giving his medicine away, I'm pretty sure. But the reason they knew he was sick and needed to go to the hospital was because he actually asked for half an aspirin. And they were like, oh, you must be in a lot of pain. At least that was the story I was told. But it's like his, you know, he did the St. Francis thing. He's giving away his family's wealth. He's evangelizing his friends. I think that Pier Giorgio has the stories that people want Carlo to have. The second that someone says Carlo would challenge his atheist friends to Super Smash Bros. And if he won, they would have to go to mass with him. The second that happens, I'm in. I'm on board. That's funny. But to your point, right? It's like,
dude, I bet Carlo was a Ness main, bro.
Nah, dude. Kirby.
If it comes out that he played Captain Falcon, then I retract everything. I take it all back.
I don't think he was born early enough to play Smash. Wait, was he born early enough for the N64? He died in 2006. Yeah. Yeah, he did. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. Cool. Dang, that means he was alive for 9/11. I wasn't even alive for 9/11. This guy's old.
That's just not true. You were.
I was. I was barely alive for 9/11. I guess so was he. It's like he was 10. Anyway, so, but you're right. It's like it sucks because even Pierre's stories are good, but they're not Therese good. Or Teresa of Avila too. It's funny because like this is the Therese says all those things. You read Story of a Soul and she does all these things. And she writes, when I look at the saints, I look at them and I see tall, towering mountains. And I feel like I am a grain of sand trodden underfoot. And you're just like, do you hear yourself? Are you kidding me? It's like, and that's the thing, is she was so great and she considered herself little. So much so that she's known for the little way. And I don't know, man. It's just, where are saints that are like that? Because even Pier Giorgio Frassati is like, great. He had a lot of temperance and fortitude in sickness. This is good. Chiara too. And like, that's good. Is that it? Is that all? Maybe my standards are too high. But I don't know, who was the Saint Therese of the night of the 20th century? Was it
Padre Pio?
Was it Padre Pio? There you go. There you go. And who will be the Padre Pio of the 21st century.
It's going to be me, I think.
It's going to be me.
I think I'm going to get the stigmata, not because I'm holy, but because I suffer a horrendous accident in my garage. Which I know doesn't count as the stigmata, but
no, it doesn't.
No, but it'd be ironic, maybe.
Maybe it's Curtis Martin.
It could be. I mean, Curtis Martin's a very holy man. He battles with the devil, from what I've heard, late at night. So no, the devil does not bother to stop by at night for me.
No.
So that must mean something, you know.
Yeah, disqualified. Mm.
I think it's an interesting conversation, because I do think the stories of the saints are very compelling, right? There's lots of saints who became saints because they read the stories of the saints,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so this is why I think it's why it's worth commenting on, in my opinion. Like, I could just go silently into the night and be like, it's fine, you guys have your thing, whatever, I have my thing. But something like this, it's like, it feels important enough to at least talk about, you know, to pretend like who the saints are and what they've done is of little consequence. Like, we should all see something in the saints, you know, even if we don't have maybe a personal devotion to them, there should be this like unifying thread through them all of the ways they were like Christ. You know?
Perhaps Carlo is the saint, but I very selfishly want a digital evangelization saint. I want this saint, because I frequently think, like, am I doing the right thing here? Like, how am I, is the way that I'm treating this bad faith dunk virtuous, or are the naysayers right? Am I being uncharitable?
You should limit your time on X, the Everything app, to 1 hour a week.
Cool. Awesome. It's like tactical stuff like that. What does it, or, you know, like,
I guess
I would love to limit my time on Gmail, the Everything app, to 1 hour a week. Can I do that too?
Gmail is not the Everything app, dude. Come on, be realistic.
It's Gmail, the Nothing app.
Yeah. That's
true. I looked at the emails I send versus the emails I received the other day. It's just stupid. The ratio is crazy.
We do get a lot of emails. I love deleting emails.
I send very few emails. Someone asked me to forward them an email that I sent someone else I think it was 5 days earlier. And it was the second email I had sent. I just don't send any emails, because I'll get them back.
You don't send
back.
Emails. You don't. Well, the problem is that sometimes we need answers.
Yes.
And so what I have to do is I have to text you for your answer to then put it in an email, instead of you just writing it in the email. Which
in
is
fairness,
frustrating.
I almost said my email. That's crazy. This is my email that no one knows, almost says it on the podcast.
That's funny. I love clicking over to the promotions tab and selecting all. Click that dang trash can. Oh, it feels so good.
I wish I could do that with everything. Anyway.
You can.
What are your thoughts? They're just not without consequences. This is what we talked about last week. You just don't want to go through the hardship. Anyway. What are your thoughts? Please let us know. Discord. bit.ly/crunchdiscord. What do you think?
Leave
about
a comment below.
Yeah, you can comment on Spotify now. So if you want to comment on Spotify, please do. If you have a positive thing to say, make sure you do it, because sometimes those Spotify comments fill up with negativity. And that's not good, bro. Dude, my ads, my promos for the toolkit always are like 10 or 15, just F you. It's not
Wait,
good.
Really?
It's not good. Yeah.
On X?
On X, the Everything app.
Like when you have an auto plug, it like people just lose their minds.
People do not like the auto plug. They're like, oh, even some Christians are like, it's really funny, because they'll be like, it's not about convincing and arguments. It's about having conversations and listening. And I'm like, brother, you're
like,
never going to
imagine.
Guess what's in the
imagine if you knew what was inside.
Imagine if you read this. You're gonna lose it.
Your mind's gonna be.
Is this your card? Whoa! How do you do it? You're gonna lose your ever loving mind. Oh man.
That's funny, man. All right, that's it for the main show.
Oh, also,
unless you have something else. Yeah, go ahead.
I want to give a shout out to our friend and our
which one?
Our protege, the kid we made. John Bosco Donahue.
John Bosco Donahue with the huge engagement.
Huge engagement. He's engaged to someone who also does a thing about evangelizing Protestants. And so I have one thing to say. Congratulations, John. Excited.
Dude, let's take her down, bro.
Let's take her down, dude. We're never gonna win. Her production value is great. She's also a girl. So we're just boned.
I like it when I open up my Instagram app and I'm all of a sudden I'm in a hammock with you. That's what I like.
Did you like that video?
I didn't watch. I watched the beginning and I was like, that's a good hook. People will like that. And I kept going.
What'd you think of the editing? Did you watch
it? I didn't. I watched the hook and then I moved on. So
our new editor edited that. I think she did a really great job.
Patrick is very, very excited about exporting jobs overseas.
I think that our new.
He's
our
the
new,
anti-Trump in that way.
Our new cat. I listen, our new Catholic. She's Catholic. A Catholic mom supporting a Catholic mom overseas. All right, it's okay.
I hope she reads this, bro.
Anyway,
it's great. No, I'm a big fan. That's it for the main show. I'm holding a baby, so we got to move on to the bonus show before he starts acting up again. But if you want to listen to the bonus podcast, go to patreon.com/thecrunch. $10 a month or more gets you access to the bonus show. And we'll see you next time.
Thanks for responding. Bye.
Bye.